tell us another one, I am free. We're free to make these affirmations from the minor prophets we were talking today. Amos 5, 4 through 15. I'll read first and then you will follow. For thus saith the Lord unto the house of Israel, seek ye me and ye shall live. Seek the Lord, and ye shall live, lest he break out like fire in the house of Joseph and devour it, and there be none to quench it in Bethel. Seek him that maketh the seven stars of Orion, and turneth the shadows of death into the morning, and maketh the day dark with night, that calleth for the waters of the sea, and poureth them out upon the face of the earth. The Lord is his name. They hate him that rebuketh in the gate, and they abhor him that speaketh uprightly.
War is much, therefore, as his treading is upon the poor, and ye take from him murderers of the weak. Ye have built houses of hewn stone, but ye shall not dwell in them. Ye have planted pleasant vineyards, but ye shall not drink wine of them.
For I know your manifold transgressions and your mighty sins. They afflict the just. They take a bribe and they turn aside the poor and the gate from their right.
Therefore, the prudent shall keep silence from that time, for it is an evil time.
Seek good and not evil, that ye may live. And so the Lord, the God of hosts, shall be with you as ye have spoken.
Hate ye evil and love the good, and establish judgment in the gate. It may be that the Lord God of hosts will be gracious unto the remnant of Joseph.
Lord, you've told us to seek good. You've told us to hate the evil. You've told us to seek you. Help us to have a heart to seek you this day. We're seeking you right here in this place, Lord, and we're asking that you would show yourself in such a way that you would be glorified, you would be magnified. Lord, we need you. We need your help. We need your guidance. We need your leading. Oh, Lord, this day we need you. We confess we need you because we're not enough. Without you, we can do nothing. But Lord, we expect great things because you are here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I'm desperate for him today. I'm desperate. Lord, without you, I don't know what we'll do. Without you, Lord, I don't know how to live. Without you, Lord, I can do nothing. Without you, Lord, we are desperate for you. We need your presence. We need you to move in our lives. We need you to touch us. We need you to help us. We need you to fill us. We need you to guide us. We desperately, desperately need you. Help us now, Lord, in Jesus' name. Scripture today is really an interesting one. From a literary standpoint, it's in the middle of a lament. The prophet is lamenting what is going to happen. Most laments that you see, like the ones that you see in Psalms where someone's crying out and in pain and hurting, that's usually for something that has already happened or is happening. But this lament is to people that are really having it pretty good, but things are about to get bad. You know, sometimes we think, we have it bad. We do not. No, we go through some challenging things. Some things hurt. Some things are painful. Some things are frustrating. Some things are this. Some things are that. But the reality is that we are absolutely, tremendously, wonderfully blessed. And we ought to recognize that. I just want to celebrate how good God has been to us. I want to celebrate how wonderful he has been. But I do recognize that there are challenging things. I do recognize that sometimes people are hurting. There are people that their body just won't do what they want it to do the way they want it to do. There are people that are so aware of their body parts because they ache and they are in pain. There are some that are so aware of every breath that they take because of the challenges that they face. But I want to remind us that we're still breathing. The aches remind us that we're still moving. The challenges that we face remind us that we still have things to care about. God is good to us. Have you recognized that God is good to you? Have you recognized that? You know, we could live our lives as victims. I just have no desire, no taste for being a constant victim. Something always under somebody's thumb, always worried about what people are going to do. I'm not the person that things are happening to. I'm the person that's happening. All right. So these folks had just heard that maybe 90% of the population 90% of the population is going to die. And right in the middle of this, the prophet makes this statement. For thus saith the Lord unto the house of Israel, seek ye me and ye shall live. Seek me. Seek me. Do you want to have real life? Do you really want to have life that allows you to prosper in a way that you can enjoy it? Prosper in a way that glorifies God? Prosper in a way that allows you to experience his peace? Prosper in a way that allows you to experience his joy? Seek God. And you shall live. Seek him. But seek not Bethel. Now, Bethel was a place that they had decided to do a lot of their worship in those days. And Bethel was there, this house of the Lord, this place. And they would go there and they would do their religious activity there. He's telling them, don't seek your place of religious activity. Don't seek that. That's not what's going to help you. That's not what's going to make things better. That's not what's going to give you joy. That's not good enough. Do not seek Bethel, nor enter into Gilgal. Sometimes we're comforted by our memories. Sometimes we're comforted by the things that we had from the past. Gilgal was that place that they first camped when they crossed over the Red Sea. That place that they felt comfortable, that place that made them feel that they had really arrived, and they wanted to go back in their memories. You ever want to go back in your memories to how it used to be? You ever want to go back in your memories and how things, you know, I've discovered something, though. I have rose-colored glasses about how things used to be. Where I stop and take a deep thought about how things used to be, it wasn't all that good. You know, this is much better. So don't look for Bethel, that religious place. Don't look for Gilgal, that place of your memory. Don't do that. Surely Gilgal is going to go into captivity and Bethel is going to come to nothing. But here's what you should do. Seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and you shall live. But if you don't seek him, he might break out like fire in the house of Joseph. He might break out and devour it, and there be none to quench it in Bethel. I won't be able to help you. The church won't be able to do a thing for you. Seek the Lord, because God, who loves us so very much, our God, who cares for us, our God chastens those he loves. He spanks everyone that comes to him. I know I shouldn't say that. You know, there's a whole school of thought today that we're in the New Testament. God no longer does anything like that, except the fact that the New Testament says he does. Oh, I'm really, you ever look at that? I mean, look at Hebrews. We'll go to Hebrews in the 12th chapter. Not Hebrews. Am I Hebrews? Yes, I am thinking of Hebrews. I'm sorry. You're looking at your well-prepared pastor. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Look at that. Look at the things that are there. First of all, there's those that have gone before you, that have shown you what it's like to do this thing, and they have done it through adversity. They have done it through difficulty. They have done it through challenge. You are no different than them. You are no better than them. You are no more blessed than them. Let us lay aside every weight. There are things that are weighing you down. There's life that's weighing you down. It's that job that's weighing you down, that finances that are weighing you down, that circumstance that you find yourself in weighing you down. Let that go. Don't let that keep you from following after God. And the sin? Oh, no. That sin that so easily besets us, that sin that comes so very quickly, that sin that sneaks up on us and we're in the midst of it when we recognize, oh, this is not the thing to do, that sin which so easily besets us, let us run with patience. I've discovered something recently. I don't like to run anymore. Yeah, you know, I don't run so good. I ran to the car the other day, and I waited till Betty turned her back so she couldn't see how much it winded me. You know, I mean, run. We've got a race to run, and you've got to finish that race well. You've got to run the race. There's a race set before you. There's a contest that you are involved in. There's a life that you have to live, and yet live it till the end. You ever see these guys in the track and field events? And they run and they run and they run and they run really, 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 really hard. But you know, none of them halfway through just says, oh, that's too much. I don't feel like running today. Now, even if they're the ones out in front, they run as hard as they can. And it's not a good thing when you don't run well. I remember one of my children one time. She was in a race, and she was running along. And she was going to possibly place for the very first time. And there was this little girl behind her that was determined that she was going to beat her. But she didn't know that little girl was behind her. And we were going, go, go, go. And she's, I got it, man. This is good enough. And before she crossed the finish line, the other girl beat her, kept her from placing in that race. What's going to keep you from placing? What's going to keep you from doing it? Will it just be because you just didn't feel like it anymore? Will it be just because stuff was hard? Listen, there's a race set before you. Run! Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, for the joy that was set before him. Guess what he did? He endured the cross. He put up with the cross. He held out. He endured the cross. Despising the shame. It's all right. I'm going to make it. And is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such a contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. I know you think you've been running hard for a very long time. I know that. But the Bible says you have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Everybody I see here is upright and breathing, except some of the little kids. And you've forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord. God so loves us that he allows things to be hard sometimes because he's not looking as being us being just fit for here. He's fitting us for heaven. You ever have a piece of machinery or a piece that just needed a little more shaping, a little more, it looked good to the world, it was okay. But it just wasn't enough. A little bit more had to go into it so that it was fit for the use that you had for it. And there's a little bit more that has to go into shaping you so that you are fit for the use of the Master, so that you are fit for the use of God. For whom the Lord loveth, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chastens or disciplines not? If ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then ye are bastards and not sons. Back at Amos. Verse 7. Ye who turn judgment to wormwood. It's really interesting. Wormwood smells good, but it's a bitter taste. Some of you look good, but is there a bitterness inside of you so that when people rub up against you, so that when people consume you, they feel bitterness? Leave off righteousness in the earth. He's telling us, seek him that maketh the seven stars of Orion. He's the one. I still look up at Orion's belt. Always looking for that. Yeah, it's right there, hooked near the Big Dipper. And it's just so neat to see that the stars are all in place. And I know that my Creator made all of the stars. My Creator made all of the stars. My Creator. He turneth the shadow of death into the morning. What seems like it's the end. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, because I know that even though I stand in the shadow for a moment, the sun is coming. The sun is coming, and he will warm me in his presence. And maketh day dark with night, and that calleth the waters of the sea, and poureth them out upon the face of the earth. The Lord is his name. Praise his name forever. That strengtheneth the spoiled against the strong, and so that the spoiled shall come against the fortress. Sometimes it feels like you've been beat down. They hate him that rebuketh in the gate, and abhor him that speaketh uprightly. You know, we live in a society now that when somebody comes and tells you, you've done wrong or that's not right, we can't stand that. We can't stand people telling us no. We can't stand people pointing out our flaws. We can't stand people that would talk to us that way to tell us the very truth of God. We can't stand it. That's how these people got. They hated those that rebuked them. They hated those that would speak uprightly to them. Verse 11, for as much therefore as your treading is upon the poor, you're not right when it comes to dealing with the poor, and ye take from him burdens of wheat, ye have built houses of hewn stone, pretty little places, well put together, nice and comfortable. You've built houses of hewn stone, but ye shall not dwell in them. Ye have planted pleasant vineyards, but ye shall not drink wine of them. Now you're not going to enjoy this, not the way that you should. For I know your manifold transgressions, I know your sins, and your mighty sins. They afflict the just, and they take a bribe, and they turn aside the poor and the gate from their right. Therefore, the prudent shall keep silence in that time, for it is an evil time. Seek good. Listen, this was talking to Israel that was gonna fall apart. How can we not fall apart? How can we not fail? Seek good and not evil, that ye may live. Seek good. Let's try to do good. Let's choose to do good. Let's choose to live right, that you may live, and so the Lord, the God of hosts, shall be with you as ye have spoken. Hate the evil and love the good, and establish judgment in the gate. Do the right thing. It may be, it just might be, that the Lord of hosts will be gracious unto the remnant. It may be that God will be gracious unto us. seek the good. New Testament says it like this, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to give yourselves a living sacrifice. Are you willing to lay it all out for God? Are you really willing to give him your all? To take a fresh approach to this word of God? A living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world. Stop letting the world squeeze you in. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you might prove was that good and acceptable in perfect will of God. Today, I need you to make a fresh commitment to yourselves, not to me, to yourselves and to God, that I'm going to give it all to him. I am going to surrender afresh to him. I know that God is calling you to himself. Are you willing to surrender? Would you bow with me? Dear Lord, we've had this interesting experience of looking to the past and looking what happened to them, but realizing what happened to them could happen to us. Help us to be prepared. Help us to live properly. Help us, Lord. Dear Father, in the name of Jesus, today I surrender myself to you. I surrender this congregation to you. We need you. There's so much more that you expect of us. We want to see people saved and delivered and healed and changed and made different. Help us to be those people, Lord. Let it be for your glory and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The altar is open to you. If God is speaking to you, feel free to come to the altar. I'd love to pray with you. I think we somehow have made a church this experience where we're just voyeurs. We're just onlookers, kind of sitting there, seeing if something's going to happen. I don't want to be a spectator. And you don't have to be a spectator. You can participate in the kingdom of God. Today, he's calling you.